Of course, this week is Thanksgiving. It's a time of year where we ought to show, especially make it a point to show gratitude to those people that God's put in our life that have done so much for us, and we ought to express our gratitude to them, to our family, and to friends. But paramount above all of that is that we ought to express our gratitude to God. In Psalm 100, the Bible says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." The story that Adam read to us, read with us and led us in reading a moment ago, is a passage of scripture that we've looked at before. I preached on this passage of scripture before. I preached a sermon one time entitled, "Where Are the Nine?" Where are the nine? Jesus healed 10 lepers. One came back to say thank you when he recognized he was healed, but the other nine didn't. And so I said some things about the nine who didn't come back. This morning I want to look at the one who did. He came back and thanked God. He gave thanks to God. And he shows us some things that if we're going to thank God the way we should, we ought to be doing those same things in our life. There's six things that he did that I want to mention to you quickly this morning that formed the basis of his thanksgiving. And again, as we approach this time of year where we ought to be grateful for God, to God, we ought to do those same six things. First one is this: he recognized God as God. Amen. In fact, all 10 of the lepers did. It said there in verse 13, "And they lifted up their voice and said, 'Jesus, Master.'" They recognized God as God. If we're going to thank God the proper way, if we're going to thank God the way that he wants us to thank him, we need to base our thanksgiving in the fact that God is God. I love the way Brother Gene prays. Every time he prays, he always says, "Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the kind of God that you are." And we need to know that God is God. God created everything. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I believe in a literal creation that God spoke everything into existence over the period of 6 days. And so he is the creator. We got all these people today that are teaching this theory of evolution. You want to know why they teach evolution? Because if they didn't teach evolution, they'd have to admit that there was a creator. They'd have to admit that there was a God. And if they admitted that there was a God, they'd have to admit that they're accountable to that God. And so because people don't want to be accountable, they said, "Oh no, there was no God. Everything just came into being. There was a big bang and everything came into being." If you believe in that, I'm just going to be blunt with you this morning. You are dumb. You're just dumb. How can you believe that everything just came into existence? There was a designer and a creator behind it. Not only is he God as creator, he is God as a sustainer. The book of Colossians says he holds everything together. This world would explode and implode if it wasn't for God overseeing it and holding everything together. He's God. The Bible also says, as God, he's the giver of every good and perfect gift. From the book of James, every good and perfect gift cometh down from a Father above. And so if we're going to properly thank God, if we're going to properly have the attitude of gratitude toward God, we need to know that he is our creator, our sustainer, and everything that happens in our life, that we have in our life, comes from him. These 10 men were lepers. They had an incurable disease, a terrible disease. From a human standpoint, there was no hope that they had of ever being cured. And when they saw Jesus, they said, "Jesus, Master." They recognized him as God. But recognizing him as God is not enough. You have to go on. The Bible says they reverenced him. They said, and in verse 12, "And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." I know they stood afar off because they were lepers. The law was, if you had leprosy, you couldn't come close to any person. If you were walking down the street and a person approached you, you had to cross over on the other side. You had to hold a little cloth over your mouth and cry out as you approach somebody, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Leprosy was passed by touch. Leprosy was passed when you got close to somebody that had leprosy. And so they had, by law, they had to stand afar off. But I think there was something else that caused them to stand afar off. When they saw Jesus as God, they said, we don't even deserve to come close to him. We're such, and again, forget about the fact that they had leprosy for just a minute. As mankind, as a mortal man, we have no right to get close to an almighty God. They said the same thing that David did in Psalm chapter 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? They said the same thing that Isaiah did in Isaiah 6, 5. Woe is me, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When we see God as God, and then we look at ourselves in comparison, we stand afar off. Because we know as we look at ourselves compared to our Creator, compared to the one that sustains everything in existence, to the one who is the giver of every good and perfect gift, when we compare ourselves to God, we want to stand off. Because there's nothing worthy in us that would cause us to think, hey, I can get close to God. No, 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 no. In reverence, we stand afar off. So they recognized him as God. They reverenced him. And again, all 10 of them did this. All 10 of the lepers. And then all 10 did the third thing. They responded to him. Jesus said, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went. When Jesus said, hey, now listen, he hadn't healed them yet. When a leper was healed, it was always a miracle, when a leper was healed, the first thing he had to do was go to the priest and show himself to the priest, and the priest had to pronounce him clean. When the priest pronounced, and there was a sacrifice, and there was a period of time that you had to observe in order to be pronounced clean by the priest. And when you were pronounced clean by the priest, you could move back home. As a leper, you had to live in a leper colony, apart from your family, apart from your home. But when you were pronounced clean by the priest, you could move back into society. You could move back home. You could take your place back in the world. Well, when Jesus said to these 10 men, said, you go show yourself to the priest, they weren't healed yet. They weren't healed. I'm sure they might have said to one another, well, why should we go to the priest? Lepers only go to the priest when they're healed. They look down at their hands. They look down at their body. They still felt the pain of leprosy. They said, we're not healed. Why should we go see the priest? But there's no indication in the scripture that they did that. The Bible says when Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And they went. They were obedient to what Jesus told them to do. Even though they might not have understood why he told them to go show themselves to the priest. I mean, they weren't healed. There was no reason for them to do them. But they went. If we're going to give God the proper thanks, we need to recognize him as God. We need to reverence him. And we need to be obedient to him. We need to be obedient. We need to simply do what he says. Again, all 10 of them did it. All 10 of them did it. When Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, they went. When God tells us to do something, we just need to do it. We need to be obedient. He's God. We reverence him. Why would we question? Why would we argue with God? Why wouldn't we be just obedient to God? And so, again, as the basis for their thanks, they recognized Jesus as God. They reverenced him. They responded to him. And again, all 10 of them did those three things. But if we're going to properly give them thanks, we've got to do more than that. Number four, this one. Now, I'm sure the other 9 did it, but we have no record of them. But this one, number four, perceived that he was healed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came a leper. When you had leprosy, you had sores all over your body. Your digits would fall off. Sometimes your ear would fall off. You would be in excruciating pain. Again, you had to live apart from society. You had to live with other people that had the disease. And so, and again, we don't know how long this man was a leper, but he knew that he had leprosy. And as he started toward the priest in obedience to what Jesus told him to do, something happened. Amen. Something miraculous happened. I mean, he looked down at his hands, and perhaps he had digits, fingers that were missing, and he looked down at his hands, and he says, "Hey, there's 10 again." If he was missing an ear, maybe he couldn't see it, but maybe he put his hand up to his ear and said, "Hey, my ear's back." He looked at his arms and at his legs, and where before he had sores that just ran pus and blood and were just terrible. And by the way, when God does something, he does it first class. I think when he looked down at his body, he had skin that was perfect. Skin just like baby skin. And he looked down and said, "Hey, I'm healed. My leprosy is gone." You know, one of the reasons that we don't thank God the way we should is we don't notice what he does. Amen. We don't, we notice the good thing. I mean, the big things. I mean, when he answers a big prayer, when somebody's really sick or somebody has cancer and we pray and they get healed from their sickness and from their disease, we thank God for that because it's something big, and we should thank God for the big things. But you know what? God does something for us every day. Amen. He does something for us probably every hour that if we paid attention to it, we would see God working in our life, and those small things that God does for us every day of our life, we ought to be just as grateful to him for those small things as we are the big things. Hey, I'm to the point in my life when I get out of bed in the morning, I thank God that I can get out of the bed. When I can get up and breathe without coughing and say, "Boy, I can take a deep breath," I thank God for that. When I can get up and again, there may come a day where I can't do this. When I can get up and dress myself and feed myself and brush my own teeth and comb my own hair, we take all that for granted. One of these days, there may come a point in our life where we can't do those simple things. We need to thank God for the things that he allows us to do today and be grateful for the things that he does for us today. We need to notice what he's done. Some of you ought to thank God for your spouses. It's been a while but since you've raised your voice to heaven and said, "God, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband." Some of you this morning ought to raise your voice to heaven and say, "Thank you for my children." It's been a while since you did that. You ought to raise your voice to heaven. "Thank you for my grandchildren. Thank you, God. I'm noticing what you've done for me. And I lift my voice and thank you." So he perceived that he was healed. The only way that we can give thanks for all the things that he does for us is for us to take the time and notice them. And again, I'm sure the other 9, as they were healed, they noticed, but we have no record of it. Just this one. Number 5, when he noticed, he not only perceived that he was healed, he proclaimed his gratitude. In verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." I like that. It says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. I mean, he didn't care what it looked like. He didn't care what people thought. He came back to Jesus and said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for curing me of my leprosy. I praise you. I say hallelujah. I say praise the Lord. Thank you for healing me." Again, he was a leper. Just a moment ago, his body was full of sores. Now he had fresh skin. If he was missing fingers or toes, now they were back. And when he saw that, he said, "Hey, I got to thank the one who did it." And he was not reserved in his praise. He was not reserved in his thanks. I think he had a Baptist fit as he went back to Jesus and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he didn't care what people thought. He didn't care what it looked like. He didn't care if people said, boy, there's a fanatic. There's one of those crazy Christians. He didn't care about none of that stuff. Sometimes we're too reserved in our thanks to God because we're too concerned about what other people might think about us. Well, who cares what they think about us? If God's done something good for you, then we need to let him know with a loud voice and thank him for what he did. Now look, leprosy in the Bible pictures sin. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you have something to shout thanks to God for, and that's him saving your soul. Every single one of us were sinners, and that sin separated us from God, just like leprosy separated people from their families and from society. And just like nobody could cure leprosy, no man could cure leprosy, there's no man that can cure sin. Only God can cure leprosy, and only God can cure sin. And God cured sin when he sent his son Jesus Christ to Calvary's cross. As Jesus hung on that cross, God took every one of my sins. He took every one of your sins. He laid them on his son. And on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ paid for every one of our sins. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more because Jesus paid for it. If God has never done anything else for you, and I doubt that there's one person here that can say this, but if God has never done anything else for you but to save you from the penalty of your sin, you could spend the rest of your days thanking him for that. Amen. And still not express the gratitude that he is owed for our salvation. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you too are a sinner. That sin separates you from God, and there's nothing that you can do or any man can do to fix it. Only God could fix it. And he already has fixed it. He sent Jesus to pay for your sin. If you believe that and receive it and ask him, he'll save you. He'll save you. And so he proclaimed, and then at number 6, and I'll close with this, he did the only thing reasonable that a person who realized that he was cured from this dreaded disease of leprosy, he did the only reasonable thing that he could do. In verse 16, it says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He recognized Jesus as God. He reverenced him. He obeyed him. He perceived that he was healed. He came back and proclaimed that thanks. And then, as somebody who was so thankful, he got down on his face before God and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. When we realize what Jesus Christ has done for us, that's the same thing that every one of us should do. We ought to say it with a loud voice, and we ought to prostrate ourselves before the Savior and say, Lord, oh, thank you. Thank you. I didn't deserve it. There's nothing I can do to repay you for what you did for me. And I'm so grateful that you loved me enough to go to the cross and pay for my sins and make me right. Amen. With my God. Every single one of us, and maybe you're like me, I hesitate to get down on my knees because I don't know if I'm ever going to get up again. And so maybe not literally, but figuratively, we need to get down on our knees and we need to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Not only at Thanksgiving time, but every moment of every day of every week of every month of every year. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's be grateful to God, not only at Thanksgiving time, but all the year through. And again, if you're here this morning and you've never received the greatest gift that God gave us, the gift of salvation, I invite you to come in just a second. I'll take the Bible. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Word of God how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the story of this man who shows us how to truly be thankful. And I pray that we would learn from him. And we would not only be thankful to all those that you put in our life who've been a help to us and who love us, but Father, that we would be thankful to you, Creator, Sustainer, Giver of every good gift. Help us to be grateful in all things. And Father, I do pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know your Son as their Savior, that in these next few moments, Holy Spirit, you would convict them of their sin. You would help them see that that sin separates them from you and that there's nothing they can do to fix it, but that Jesus already provided the fix if they come and take it. If they believe that he died in their place and just receive what he did for them on Calvary and come and ask him to save them, he'll surely do it. And so again, if there's just one in our midst this morning that needs to do that, help them to pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe you're the one, the only one. Please save me from the penalty of my sin. Help them to pray that prayer. Christians that are here this morning, I pray, Holy Spirit, if there's something in our life that we need to get out or something in our life we need to get in, I pray you convict us of that and you'd help us to make holy decisions this morning as well. Just bless this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.